Whiter than snow, whiter than snow, you washed me. Whiter than snow, whiter than snow, you washed me. Whiter than snow.
Father, we thank you this morning for your word and the power of the Holy Spirit. You are the divine orchestrator. Thank you for what you did for Roger many months ago, speaking that word to him and then playing the song right behind it. And then today, Lord, just bringing that song back on a day that we knew he was going to share what you had done. You're pretty amazing. And we just thank you for who you are and all you're saying and doing. In Jesus' name, everybody say it.
Amen.
Amen. Let's take our Bibles this morning and hold them up and say this together. This is my Bible. The truest thing about me is what God says about me. And he says, I am a born again, new creation. I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and I am holy and without blame in his sight. And I would add, it's okay to believe it because he's that good. We're going to continue our series on the names of God, the knowledge of God. Knowing God is more essential than the knowledge of anything else. Can I get an amen right there? I got my button down there if I need it, but I don't think today I'm going to need it. The knowledge of God is more essential than the knowledge of anything else. When we truly know him, when we know him, which is what we're on the planet to do, when we experience the depths of his nature and his person and his character, our hearts become open to worship him. Our hearts become open to sit with him, to walk with him. Our hearts become open to the word being made flesh. We've heard a lot about that, I'd say in November and now the first part of December, that the Lord wants the word, his word, to be made flesh in us. And so as we get to know his person and his character, then we begin to walk intimately with him. And knowing who he is very important. Because how do you have a relationship with a God you think might strike you down or give your kid cancer or, you know what I'm saying? I mean, all kinds of crazy stuff out there. God gets blamed for a whole lot of stuff that he's not doing, even in the insurance business. And sorry, Aaron Whitlock and whoever else is in it. But this whole deal about act of God, tornado's not an act of God, people. God's the one interceding. He's the one there comforting people. Sheltering people, help them if their house gets hit, he's there. So amen. That wasn't in my notes. So when we start abiding with him and sitting with him, we fall in love with him because we see him, then we start bearing much fruit. And this is so important in a world who desperately needs to see him. So everything's being pushed towards, again, agnosticism. You can believe in a God. He's out there somewhere. Even the politicians aren't afraid to say something about God off somewhere, somehow. But they don't talk about Jesus Christ, the final and fullest revelation of God. Amen. That's a powerful statement. They don't talk about him. But in this culture, people need to see people who do know him. So that what? So that he can be known to them. God knew it might be difficult for us to know him. God is smart. And he thought, I'm pretty big. They're pretty small. It might be challenging for them to know me. How many of you figured out he's God and we're not? You need to have that breakthrough if you haven't had it yet. And I think it's so funny when we tell God in prayer everything we have need of. He already knows. And half the stuff you're asking for is probably not good for you. I mean, I'm just saying. We like to pray ourselves into immaturity. Lord, make sure I don't have any problems. Make sure everybody's nice to me. Make sure that guy at work, he treats me right. When in fact, those just become, if he doesn't treat you right, those become what? Opportunities to demonstrate the love of God. That you're sourced by somebody outside of the earthly dimension. You're sourced by the Spirit of God. So since creation, God has in various forms, in various ways, reached out to us to disclose himself to us. Why? Because he's super big. He's Elohim. That's what we're going to look at today. I mean, my goodness. He can stand outside of space and time and heaven and earth and create them. That's how big he is. There is no end to space. I don't know if you're aware of that. I mean, okay, so if there is an end to space, there's something else on the other side. We can't comprehend that there's no end to whatever's out there. Everybody say he's big. So in his love, he's always disclosing himself. And let me say this, it's a progressive revelation. And I'm going to get more into that in a little bit. It's a progressive revelation. He didn't want to just at creation show himself all of us. How many of you know that would blow our mind? I think a rabbit would have a better chance at calculus than we would have had at understanding had he just said, here it is, here's everything. So it's been progressive since our beginning. Not his, but our beginning. Look at Hebrews 1, verse 1, NIV. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. So Elohim, God, he's always trying to make himself known to us. And in times past, it was prophets and different things. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his son. The final and fullest revelation of who I am. Man, I thank God. I thank God for putting on one of these. Elohim spoke a language that you and I could understand. It's incredible. In these last days, he spoke to us through his son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and he made the whole universe through him. The son is the radiance of God's glory. And look at this, the exact representation of his being. God is Christ-like, and I'm super excited about that. Sustains all things by his powerful word. Science is still trying to figure out how come nothing just falls. How is it all just held together? They marvel at it. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So he's always making himself known to us since the beginning. And let me say that, our beginning, not his. He has no beginning. We have a beginning. Time had a beginning. God has no beginning. But since we showed up by the work of his mouth, right, and his hand, he's making himself known. He desires that we know him. God comes personally, near, through the Lord Jesus Christ. I love that about Christmas time. He is Emmanuel. God is with us. Who is with us? God is with us. How about this? He numbered the hairs on your head. It's written in Scripture. Numbered your days before there was one of them. Outstanding. How about knew you in your mother's womb? And we're talking about a God that can stand outside of space and time and heaven and earth. And he's numbered the hairs on your head. What's he doing? He's showing himself to you. Why? Because he longs for us to know him. My goodness. God's names help reveal all that he is. That's why we're doing this series. The names of God throughout history help reveal who he is. Psalm 8 verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. You've set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you've ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. I think some of the enemies are those who say there is no God, and yet he makes himself known, even through creation. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you've ordained. What is man that you're mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him. My goodness. So he's looking at all of creation. His mind is blown and he's like, God, you're incredible. You're mindful of us. Number the hairs on our head, as I mentioned. You've made us a little lower than the angels and crowned him with glory and honor. You've made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. Put all things under his feet. All sheep, oxen, beasts of the field, fish of the sea. Verse 9, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. See, the scripture also says that the Bible says that a fool says there is no God. A fool says in his heart there is no God. I didn't figure out till just the other day that atheists have a holiday. Guess what it is? April Fools. Never heard that. There you go. There's your token joke for the week. Creation testifies. Nature testifies there is a God. The universe testifies there's a God. How about this? The laws of the universe testify there's a God. How about the laws of relationship? Is there a way that relationships work? Yeah, there is a way. Love your neighbor as you love yourself, and you'll get along better with your neighbor. So there's laws in relationship. How about intelligent design? I like that. The scientists are using that now. They all bear witness that there is a God. How in the world did evolution or the Big Bang theory ever come into practice? How did that ever make it on the books? How'd that ever get printed? Listen, the idea that nobody plus nothing equals everything. There was nothing and there was no one. And this is how we got all we have. That takes way more faith to believe that than Creator God made us in His image. People try to seek to get rid of God and His existence in our culture, and yet even a child knows paintings have painters. Designs have designers. And creation has a creator. If we see creation, there's a creator. And when you discover all that God is and you rest in Him, you begin to fully grasp what is the height, the depth, the width, and the breadth of the love of God. And that is our journey here in this series. Look at this one, Matthew 6:9. In this manner, Jesus said, pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. It helps reveal who He is. And so the first one we're going to look at is Elohim, which means mighty or strong creator. Elohim. We take it from Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So the word for God here in the Hebrew translation is Elohim. So the first name that God reveals to us of Himself in Scripture is Elohim, strong or mighty creator. So now we're getting a glimpse as to who He is. This is the plural of the word El, which means God. So Elohim is the plural of the word God. Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Yeah. So the first thing that God created, though, I know you're thinking, oh, He made the heavens and the earth. Isn't that sweet? No, He made a beginning first. The first thing God created is a beginning. I hope you've had your coffee. I hope you're awake this morning. God created a beginning. He created time. That's the first thing He made there. If He created time, that means He existed before time. Right? If He created time, He existed before time. God then is present before time began and after time ends. Interesting. So God is pretty big. He's pretty amazing. He's pretty magnificent. I think it's probably good that there is a healthy fear of God, a reverence of Him. And an awe of Him. And I think my biggest awe, Cindy, is that He loves me. He's that big. And He came down here, put on one of these, and died for me. It's stunning when you think about it. It's overwhelming when you think about it. We should never struggle worshiping Him. As I said last week, if we see Him, we'll worship Him. It's in us. The one thing we can grasp that's outside of time is eternity. So God is eternal. He's not confined or limited. He doesn't contend with time. We do. So He has no beginning, so He stands outside of time and creates time. He creates a beginning. And notice that the word created isn't the word made. He didn't need any prior materials. He made something out of nothing. He made everything out of nothing. There was nothing there, and He just spoke it into existence. My goodness. Yeah. He didn't need stuff that was already there. He originated something from nothing. I think that means he can probably handle whatever your situation is. Right? How many of you think, you know, Roger had been battling the back pain and the back pills, the pain pills for 17 years. I don't think God was wringing his hands. Right? I think he went. But what's beautiful is, how did he really do it? He did it personally. He talked to him. He told him, you're no longer a slave to fear and you're no longer a slave of pain. He spoke it to him. And then guess what happened? He was free. See, if God says the carpet here is blue, it turns blue. If he says Roger has no back pain, Roger has no back pain. That's the power of his word. Psalm 107:20, he sent his word and healed him. But isn't it great he did it personally and lovingly? He didn't even say, Roger, man, I tell you, I'm so disappointed in you, but I guess I'll do it for you. No, he loves you. Everybody say, he loves you. Secondly, God created a place for us to exist. He did make the heavens and the earth. Now, this is the love of God. If you can't see the love of this incredible God who made everything, that he would prepare a place for you and I to exist. He did that on the front end. He made the heavens and the earth so that you and I could be inserted into it and then get this, partner with him. Partner with him to oversee it. It's amazing. It's the love of God. God's that personal. So his first step towards you was preparing a place for you. That was his first thought. I need a place for Robert and Donna to dwell. Love it. What else did he do? How about he slayed a lamb? From before the world began, he slayed a lamb. Which means if Robert and Donna stumble, I've got them covered. These are his steps towards you before he even showed up. He slayed a lamb for you. He prepared a place for you. Then John 14, the lamb shows up. He's walking around and he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, you believe also in me. If it were not so, right about the mansions, I would have told you. For behold, I go to prepare a place for you. Amazing. Yeah, that where I am, you may be also. He loves you. How about, what do you guys do when you find out, you parents, when you find out that you're pregnant? Yeah, okay, after you pass out, then what do? Everybody's like, oh my gosh. You prepare. You prepare a place for the child. And God, in his forethought, prepared a place for you to exist. Prepared a place for you to come and do what? Get to know him. Get to know him. Get to know him. I mean, we're talking about Almighty God, and he desires you to know him, and he is love. Incredible. So the space he made was the heavens and the earth, where we could co-rule and partner with him. So we could colonize, and as Gretchen and I talked about a couple of weeks ago, culturize the earth to look like heaven. To culturize the earth to look like heaven. And he chose us as his partners to do it. He desires his most precious creation to know that you're loved, you're cared for, and you're prepared for. I love it. So he creates the heavens and the earth, yet he exists outside of them. I mentioned that before. So God is so big, for him to be able to create the heavens and the earth, he's standing outside of them, looking at them. Or you could say it like this, maybe the heavens and the earth are within him. Because he's that big. They exist within him. This is stunning. I mean, it's amazing. He's imminently everywhere. Imminently everywhere. The farthest reaches of space that don't end, he's there. Yeah. Yeah. So I had lunch with Scott this last Friday, and we're sitting there saying, how is it again that we don't trust him? How is that possible? Do we know how big he is? And yet he loves us. And it's his perfect love for us that removes all fear. That's why I'm saying through this progressive revelation over time, he knows he could be a little bit scary. He's awfully big, but he keeps revealing, I'm love. I'm love. I'm love. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. So he is omnipresent. Everybody say omnipresent. Psalm 139, verse 7 and 8, even David had talked about, if I go to the heavens, you're there. If I go to the depths of Sheol, you're there. Where could I go that you're not there? I'm telling you, he is imminently everywhere. God is omnidimensional. See, I always thought, that's why I love this series. It's been so good for me because I always relegated him to the heavens. No, he made the heavens. So the heavens cannot contain him. He stands outside of something as big as the heavens. And I always think, okay, when I go to heaven, he'll be there. Yeah, he is there. But the heavens can't contain him. He's bigger than that. That's right. He is omnidimensional. You and I are bidimensional. Heavens and earth, spirit and natural. Spirit and natural. And unfortunately, we spend a lot of our time drudging and what is it when you're running in the sand of the natural realm. You're not created for that one near as much as the spirit realm. Walk by the Spirit. Get born again by the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. You know what it means to be filled or baptized with the Holy Spirit? It just means come under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Come under His influence. Every day He's leading. Every day He's speaking. Every day He's influencing. Be baptized. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Come under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5, verse 18. Be not drunk with wine. See the correlation there? Don't come under the influence of wine. Come under the influence of the Holy Spirit. So, walk by the Spirit. Everybody touch your neighbor and say, walk by the Spirit. Woo, amen is right. Come on, Holy Ghost. So, we're bidimensional. We're worshiping a God that's omnidimensional. This could prove challenging to us to really get to know Him because we're limited to time. We're limited to space. We're limited to matter, but He's not. So what if God decided, what if Elohim, the mighty creator, decided to make himself known to us personally? What if he did that? Well, he did. Not only personally, he revealed himself perfectly in Jesus Christ. He is the final revelation. That's why I gave you Hebrews 1, verse 1 through 3. In times past, He's used all these various means, including the prophets, and we know that creation testifies of Him and all these things. But then He puts on an earth suit. Elohim, the one that the space cannot contain. My goodness. Oh, my goodness, my goodness. If we spent the rest of our lives at the altar worshiping Him, it wouldn't be enough. It wouldn't be enough for Him to do what He's done. And I'll speak for myself, but I've made Him out to be smaller than He really is. He's bigger than what I could even comprehend. And yet He loves me. And He would put on an earth suit and come and show Himself to me because He knew it might be challenging. And why is this important? Because in our culture that's trying to make America like Europe, you got the globalists and all them, just everybody, all religions are the same. Let's all just get along and let the politicians and the government tell you what's right and wrong. We'll tell you what's good and evil. Everybody just get along. All religions are the same. Just use the name God and everything will be fine. So in Europe, they've already pushed them towards this agnostic view, which is there is a quote God, but you can't really know Him. So in this culture, we need to be those who know Him. Let me tell you, I understand that He's bigger than what we can understand, but listen, He understood it. And so He put on an earth suit and He showed up as Jesus Christ, Emmanuel. God is with us. God, if you think Jesus is a religious figure, you're wrong. You're wrong. He is God in the flesh. Come on, give Him praise this morning. That's who He is. He's not a religious figure. So there it is. Number four, He's been revealing Himself progressively. And we can share with the agnostics, not just by what we say, but come on, by how we live, that we know Him and we're under the influence of Elohim. We're under the influence of the Spirit of God who made us. Let me tell you about Him. Let me do something kind for you. Let me bring you a turkey dinner on Thanksgiving Day. Amen? on the 4th of July. Let's open up our parking lot, throw open the doors, and give everybody free food and drink. Let me show you under the influence of how big this God is, how generous He is. Remember when we first got into this building, they said, listen, around the 4th of July, when they do the fireworks show here in Choctaw, they're going to come and get in your parking lot. The whole town's coming to park in your parking lot. So you better close off your gates. Or you better get some. We're like, no. I said, yeah, why? Let's make another driveway. So you're telling me the whole town's coming out? Then let's fling open the doors. Let's feed them. Let's serve them. Let's show what Elohim and the love of God really looks like. Amen. That's what we do in this culture. We're tailor made for what's going on. Those 3,000 teenagers in that religion survey at the University of North Carolina, the number one thing they said was there is a God and He kind of just oversees everything, but you can't know Him. But here we are. Yes, you can. And I'd even say your heart longs to know Him because His fingerprints and His breath are all over your inner workings. Amen, somebody. Come on, give Him praise this morning in the house of God. So the religions of the world are full of man's ideas of who God is. But what if Elohim had the idea, I'll give you my revelation of who I am. I don't want man's idea of who God is. I don't want somebody who had a dream one time and wrote a book and said, let me tell you who God is. I want God's revelation of Himself. And that is Jesus Christ come to us. And I'm going to say it again. He didn't reveal Himself all right there at the beginning. It's been this progressive journey. Do you realize that all the great philosophies of man, and I use that term loosely, but all the philosophies of man from Native Americans, can I get a witness? Native Americans who were here talked about a great spirit. Oh, I'm about to explode. Even the Chinese, even the Far Eastern religions talk about a certain spirit, a God, a deity that they wanted to come to know. And then the Greeks had incredible knowledge. Now they were all, you know, they had multiple gods and all that, but they were seeking. They were looking. Man's always been looking. And all the great philosophies of man were completed just about the time of Jesus Christ. Just about the time of Jesus Christ. I don't think that's by coincidence. There were some good men and then some not so good people who'd really tried to help human beings understand who God is. What is this thirsting for spiritual things that man has? How do we relate? How do we find Him? But then God, in the fullness of time, how many of you know the Bible says at just the right time? In the fullness of time, God revealed Himself perfectly and personally in Jesus Christ. We'd had glimpses, and we're going to, in this series, we'll look at Him. Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Jireh. So through His names, over time, He would reveal Himself. But I always got to come back to the final and perfect revelation, and that's Jesus Christ. Man, if you want to, take a picture of this. This is good stuff. So in the fullness of time, man's done his best. He's philosophized. He's looked for the great spirit. Everybody's wondering, how do we relate? How do we find God? You didn't have to find Him. He found you. Because Jesus didn't come to begin man's search for God. He came to end it. Because Jesus is God. He is not the Native Americans' interpretation of God. He's not the Chinese or the Far Eastern religions' interpretation of who they think God is. That's why you gotta understand, do not fall for the idea that Christianity is just another religion. Jesus didn't come to start a religion to compete with other religions. Jesus is God. He is God come to you. To do what? To show Himself to you that you might fall madly in love with Him. Come on, praise God in this house. That's why He did it. Hallelujah. There appeared to us a person on this planet who turned to humanity and said, if you want to know what your Father Creator is like, I am He. I want to fall down on my knees. I can't believe, I can't barely conceive that Elohim, the one outside of the heavens and earth, mercifully injected himself, inserted himself into the heavens and the earth dimension, those realms, so I might see him and I might know him. It's incredible. Oh my goodness. I could spend the rest of my earthly life worshiping him and it wouldn't be enough. And you know what? As we said last week, Psalm 48:10 says, according to thy name, so is my praise. According to who you are, as you've revealed yourself. The ultimate revelation of Elohim, strong creator, is a father who is Christ-like. Has God made himself out to be father? Yes, he has. And if he is indeed, if God, Elohim, creator, is Christ-like, then what does that mean? It means he's good. It means he's approachable. It means he's trustable. It means we could find him with a woman bound in adultery and sin, and he would say to her, woman, where are your accusers? Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. I have seen Elohim. I've seen him. So he's trustable, and he not only means well. If God is Christ-like, he not only means well, he means to make you well. Can I get a witness? Jesus, if he did anything, came to make people well. He did interrupt one. He did interrupt a funeral. After 2,000 years of progressive and progression of humanity in every realm of knowledge. Do you agree? Knowledge has exploded over the last just a couple of hundred years, but let's go back 2,000 years. Through progress in every realm of knowledge, we have not surpassed a character concept higher than Christ's likeness. You will not surpass a character or a moral quotient higher than Christ's likeness. There is none higher than that. So take every attribute of Christ and apply it to Almighty God. Woo! And that makes him approachable. That makes him redemptive. That makes him lovable. Oh my gosh! I should have brought my running shoes today. Everybody in this room turned to Jesus Christ and we beheld him and we saw God in him. And we realize he is God. And what did we say? Take my heart. Did we not? Take my heart. Everyone in this room, when we see the full and final disclosure of Elohim, our creator, walking around, going to the cross and dying for us, did we not say, take my heart? I have come home. I have found you. How about number two? Jesus is not man become God. He is God become man. Man no longer would need to reach upward through philosophy, through religions, through the Great Spirit, but our strong Creator was reaching down to us. Almighty God came to us because we could not get to Him. How much would ever be enough? You should flee religion. Don't ever let people tell you that Christianity is a religion. Not the real one, it's not. Have people tried to make it that? Yes. But it's not a religion, it's a relationship. It's a relationship. And he came down to us, guys, in a form that we could actually begin to understand him. Emmanuel. And I'm grateful that he didn't just come to us as a book. I can read a book. I can even be loyal to a book, and I can do some things that the books say, but I cannot love a book. Come on, somebody. Why? I must love a person. I must love a spirit, because I myself am spirit. Does that make sense to you? I'm not disregarding Scripture. Thank God for the Scriptures. That's where we're going to get all these names we're talking about. But he didn't just come to me in a book. When he came to Roger, several months ago. He spoke to him. He loved him. And then he freed him. Amen. He didn't say, Roger, well, even then he'd be talking to you. Roger didn't find a book and say, I've read in this book, this is what I should do. Our heart for you and for everyone in our community, and I would say throughout the whole world, is that you know him. Yes. You know him. And yeah, dig in the scripture, please. Spend time in the scripture. But let him teach you what it says. And he will. Amen, Cindy. He will. And the more you know him, see, out of this series, what are we going to do? We're going to sit with him. And we're going to worship him. And we're going to give every day of our life to him. Sundays are not enough. Sundays are not enough. That's not what we had in the garden. It's not what we had in the garden. If you need to know your destination as a human being, go back to your beginning.
Oh, amen.
That's not my notes. That is a profound statement. If you want to know your destination, you want to know where he's taking you, go back to the garden. It wasn't Sundays. It sure wasn't a weekend. It was every day. Spirit to spirit, heart to heart, thought to thought, daily communication and relationship. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
And then I love this one. The next one. Jesus didn't come to set a new religion alongside existing religions. Do you know Jesus never used the word religion? He simply came to reveal to us who our Creator and Father is. And he said, if you've seen me, you've seen your Father. Ah, thank you, Lord. Father is a revelation of God in itself, that term. Think about that. Think of that term. It reveals something about him. Jeremy, you guys can come. Jesus Christ, oh, let me see if there's one more. Jesus Christ is this God, Elohim, speaking a language that you and I could understand, putting on an earth suit and doing actions that we could understand. If that's not love, if that's not infinitely personal, I mean, you guys understand it. If you're God and you make this creation and you could wipe them all out with one breath, you're going to have to go out of your way to reveal I'm personal and I'm loving. And he has done that. And my question to you today is, have you received him? Have you got on your face and your knees before him with your heart wide open and said, I receive you. I believe. I believe that you are God. And I believe that you revealed yourself perfectly and personally through Jesus Christ. God actively interacts with his creation by his Spirit. We don't live in an impersonal universe. Aren't you glad? Think about that. The universe is not impersonal. It's governed by a personal God. Will you stand with me? He's not just above us and beyond us, guys. He's among us. And if you're born again, he's in us. Think about that. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here this morning and you have not received him, you've not called on his name and said, Heavenly Father, would you come and save me by the Spirit of Jesus Christ? Would you make me whole because I'm incomplete without you? If you've not done that, would you slip your hand up and say, Brother Steve, I want to do that today. Anyone, I want to know him. I want to receive him. Anyone. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands together. Let's just begin to pray. Let's just begin to receive of his Spirit. Let's begin to live out of our homecoming in his presence. Lord, we need to be at rest. You are that good. You are that good. Father, we come under the influence now of the Holy Spirit to let you lead us and guide us. And direct us, Lord, and send us as the Word made flesh into a culture that's being told they can't really know you. We are not that answer, but we carry that answer. And may you be revealed, Lord, within each one of us. You're my reality. Well, let it sink in. Let it soak in. Truth, truth, truth that sets a man free. Truth that sets a man free.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.